Welcome to The Right Chamber,
the podcast where we dive deep into the fascinating world of medicine and healthcare.
In every episode, we will talk about pivotal topics relating to medicine and surgery in the UK and what it's like to be a healthcare professional today. We are inviting doctors and other healthcare professionals across different specialties to discuss their experiences and give an insight into what their journey has been like. Please follow us on Instagram and TikTok at RGUCMS and subscribe to our YouTube channel, RGUC Media. So sit back, ignore the traffic, and enjoy the Right Chamber podcast.
Laura James is the undergraduate assistant manager, having joined the undergraduate team in 2012 as a receptionist covering maternity leave. Over the years, she has grown within the team, demonstrating dedication and leadership that have been instrumental in her progression. Laura is deeply committed to supporting and guiding the undergraduate team in delivering high-quality teaching programs for medical student doctors and PAs. Her passion lies in helping to ensure students receive the best possible foundation for their education and future careers in medicine.
Courtney Griffiths, part of the undergraduate center team, has supported fifth-year medical students for nearly 3 years. She's dedicated to creating a supportive, open environment and ensuring student access to valuable opportunities during placements, helping them thrive both personally and professionally. Welcome back to the Right Chamber podcast. You have me, Dr. Victor.
And I'm Dr. Jaspreet.
And with us today, we've got very lovely guests, special guests from the Teaching Academy. So I will let them introduce themselves. So if we start with you first.
Yeah, so I am Laura. I am the Undergraduate Assistant Manager.
And I'm Courtney, and I'm the fifth year Undergraduate Coordinator.
Brilliant. Very lovely to meet you both, even though we work with you quite a lot.
See you every day.
Right. So for our guests who might not know what the Undergraduate Centre is or what we do, shed a little bit of light on the Undergraduate Centre and perhaps your role and where you come in.
Okay. So the Undergraduate Centre, we are responsible for looking after all of the medical student doctors, the student physician associates, and they come from Birmingham University, Aston University, and now three counties. So our job is to organise their placements and their teaching and anything that the universities ask us and tell us what they need. So I oversee the team, so I don't do all the nitty gritty of that myself. But Courtney looks after the fifth year students, so she knows more about what the timetabling and the teaching is.
And is that fifth year students for all the universities or?
No, so I look after fifth year UOB and fifth year Aston. And their timetables are quite similar in terms of what they require from us as a teaching hospital, but they do differ at the same time because they're here for different amounts of time.
So in terms of fifth years, how do you help them transition into F1s?
Oh, okay.
You specifically.
Well, it's not just me. It's part of their curriculum that they have to do two assistantship placements. Each time they'll spend time with an FY doctor that's already on the ward and in hospital. The first one, they kind of just come into the hospital and go into any random department just to give them a bit of a look into what they'll be doing. And then for the second one, they spend time in the actual department that they'll be working in come August. So I think that's really helpful for them because especially if they're coming to this trust, they get an idea of what sort of work they'll be doing. They get to meet the wider team and it just gives them a bit more confidence in where they'll be going.
Are they assigned an F1? Because as far as I remember, I wasn't like assigned a student. They just showed up to the ward and the consultant was like, oh yeah, just follow her. And I was like, why do I have a student? I've got things to do. But do you guys like have assigned F1s?
Yeah, so Abby in postgrad will send me the list of F1s at the start of the year. So then when it comes to planning for those placements, I compare them with a specific F1 around like holiday and their availability of shifts and stuff. But they've always got somebody to sort of look to and speak to if they need more support.
And that's really good.
So a lot of like Excel sheets and juggling on.
Spreadsheets for days, yeah.
And like for a lot of people who might be listening who doesn't know how it kind of works, half of the year as a fifth year, you kind of spend preparing for your final exams and your final OSCEs. And then and then your elective as well, where you go off and you have some work experience somewhere. But then the last kind of few months of your final year, you spend preparing to enter the workforce as a brand new F1 doctor. And this is where you do this FY1 assistantships that we're talking about. And it's really, really good learning, isn't it? Because you no longer have that pressure of the exams. All that is out of the way. And now you can literally just, you know, buddy up with an FY1 doctor and just absorb as much knowledge as you can to see what they do.
In the future, in a few months, weeks.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, coming up now.
Yeah, and it is an invaluable part of being a fifth year med student. I think if you ask any FY1 doctor, that final year is a make or break. Yeah. Experience for them, because it is a big jump from med student to now like nurses and doctors asking you to prescribe stuff and do stuff. So I think it's just amazing how you're able to coordinate this and make sure students are as prepared as they can be. What do you find as the most rewarding?
I think you've just touched on it a little bit. I think for me, being in this role, I mean, obviously we're admins, so we're away from all the clinical side of things, but it's just knowing that we've been a part of their journey into being a doctor, and potentially these students will be our doctors as we grow older and they'll be taking care of us. Mm-hmm. So if we can put as much effort in and as hard work as we can to support them, then hopefully that's aiding them for their future. That's how I look at it, and that's why I try and work as hard as I can for them.
Yeah.
I think the same with the jump from med student to FY. Even though I'm not spending time with them on the ward, you have that contact with them because there's future medical students coming in. You make like your relationships with them, and there's people that still come up and see me now and will come and like check in and say how they're getting on and stuff, and it's really nice to see like how they've developed and stuff.
That's amazing.
And through the years we've had like students who joined us for like the medical work experience program, and then they came back to us as a medical student, and then they come back to us as an FY doctor, and then even later on they might even become a doctor. So it's nice to see them work through all those programs and eventually come back to work here, which hopefully means that we did a good job and they want to be back at Russell's Hall.
Yeah, that's amazing. You actually see some of the growth and progress non-students to students, from students to doctors and PAs, and wow, that is really, really good.
So apart from the medical student side of things, what else does your job entail?
Exams?
Lots of exam prep. we run the work experience program. What else do we do?
It's quite hard to think off the top of your head, but it feels like there's always something going on in the centre, because we take like other bookings and stuff as well, don't we, that keep us busy.
But once upon a time, the curriculums worked, so it was just an academic year. So between September to March, that was the busiest time of year. And then it kind of quietened down for the summer, whereas now there's something happening all the time. We've got obviously the different students and the different placements. They're all in chopping and changing. We have the exams, which now start in February and still continue into July. We've got our last one this week. The work experience program, the second year prep course. That's generally us.
I think so.
It doesn't sound like we do a lot, but we do a lot.
No, I'm pretty sure you do a lot more. Always working.
Things like this.
Yeah. And even with the exam, it's no small fry, I tell you that. and it's just about, you know, maintaining like examination integrity, making things as fair as possible for everyone. And so much prep goes into it. I think as clinical teaching fellows being involved, you really get to see firsthand all the, because as med students, we just show up and things are just there and ready to go.
I think that's the part of it, that we do all the prep and then the actual day itself is so quiet and so smooth. So people would probably be like, well, what's all the fuss being about? But in Tide, we're just constantly waiting for something to go wrong. We're waiting for a fire alarm or somebody to walk out of a room. So it's that being on like ready, being on hand in case something happens that you haven't planned for. Whereas we know that we've done the prep and the planning to make sure the exam can run as smoothly as we need it to.
And even liaising with like different universities, because they have like different ways of doing the examination, different requirements. It must be a lot of work.
Yeah. Adjusting between one university to the next. Yeah. And everyone will have their own kind of requirements.
So what do students normally come to you with? What issues?
Do you mean, problems? To be honest, the main thing is finding space in the hospital, because even though we look huge from the outside, when you get in and out onto wards and departments and stuff, they're actually not that big. And the number of students is ever growing. So we're just always trying to find space for people. So that's probably the biggest issue. And maybe skills. That's something else we struggle with, isn't it? But we give as much push as we can. And you guys obviously support them really well as well. So that's good.
And parking.
Yeah. Parking.
And I'll vouch for that as well. I think the parking's really, really bad.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'd say we struggle at the moment with the space to put them, while still trying to offer them a good experience whilst on their placement. I think the facilities are being a little bit stretched.
It's that balance between giving the best kind of teaching that we can give, but at the same time, making sure that our capacity is still within the limits of what we can handle, and balancing both of those things. And year on year, it's kind of gone up in numbers, isn't it, for students?
Yeah. So, I mean, I've been here quite a while now, and when I initially started, we just looked after University of Birmingham students. So we've taken on two more universities. And with that, each year group grows every year. So the numbers start off very, very small. And then usually the year later, it'll double and then double again. So we have to sort of take that in mind when we agree with the universities what we can accommodate, just to make sure that it doesn't have a knock-on effect with anybody else that's coming to us as well.
And how have you like coped with that, the increasing number of students?
I think on the most part, we just managed to do a little bit of jiggling and juggling. Particularly for fifth years, we've had to implement like split shifts. Don't know if you want to explain that.
Yeah, of course. So when they go to ED, which is the most common place everybody wants to go because you see a bit of everything, ED, ICU and AMU, we have to do split shifts now. Because the numbers jumped from 20 students to nearly 30 last year. So we had to make quite a few changes there just to make sure that everybody was accommodated and getting the same experience.
Wow. So you have to be in quite kind of close contact and team working with the doctors out on the ward and the leads of departments, and making sure that's a lot of admin and juggling to do. You have to have eyes on each department at all times. How do you find that?
I think we're lucky in the sense that we've got a really good academy, and within the academy we've got really good contacts and leads that we can go to time and time again each year. I think the curriculums are really well integrated into the hospital now. We're a teaching hospital. So they're used to the kind of requests that we ask for. So when we get our allocations and we know what students we need to send where, they're kind of already ready for us to say, right, can you take this student? Can you have these students? And everyone's really, really receptive to students. It's very rare we get feedback where students say that they've been turned away from places. Usually it's because of capacity as opposed to not being allowed to go there. So yeah, I think having a good, strong academy and having a good rapport with people, which I think we as an undergraduate team we've got that. We've built good relationships with people across the trust now.
Yeah, brilliant. And it's so important. I can think back to when I was a medical student, one of the big things is you show up on the ward and like no one is expecting you. And they're like, who are you? Why are you here? Where are you from? But yeah, as you've said, keeping all the leads of department, keeping them updated so everyone's on board with what the plan is, which students they should be expecting, and yeah, building good rapport with them goes a long way to making sure things run as they should.
I think you have like monthly meetings as well to see if there's any like issues going on that they could be addressed.
Yep. So every month, the whole academy are invited to get together to talk about all the different year groups and all the different students that are with us, and to kind of think up new ideas if we need to make any changes again. So we get a good attendance to that, and all of the conversations are distributed later on for further discussion or actions if people need to do anything.
So if you had a magic wand to like just wave it and change things, is there anything that you would change?
I think I would, because the students in fifth year are around my age range, which is nice, but I think we're a little bit stuck in the past in terms of like technology, like emails and stuff. Like, not all the time do students check their emails, so they might miss communications and stuff. I know that you guys end up having group chats and stuff with your firms or teaching groups, but it's not something that we've really got as an undergraduate team. So we only have email or the conversations that we have in the corridor in the undergraduate centre. So I think it would be good to maybe develop something for that in the future.
Do you think it would be like also useful to have students be a little bit more open if they're having issues as well, rather than putting it on an email?
I think we're getting there.
Yeah.
I think over recent years, like, there's been a real big push for well-being and sort of looking after students in that capacity. And we've kind of got an open door policy, really. So the students always get to meet their coordinators and meet the team. And they know that they can go and speak to any of the staff if they've got an issue, whether that's relating to their programme and being here or whether that's something else that's going on at home, if they feel comfortable to. We've also got well-being champion within the team. And as you know yourselves, we've got clinical teaching fellows who also act as well-being champions. So I feel like we've got enough avenues for students to then come to us if they've got any issues or have any concerns or any problems. And then we can point them in the right direction across the wider team. So obviously we've got the main well-being lady, and then we've got Richard Allen, who looks after the junior doctors and their well-being. So I think we're actually getting there with well-being and support. And I do feel like the students are receptive to that, and they do come and form relationships and have chats with us and just sit and pull up a chair and have a coffee and tell us about their day. And that's nice. We don't get to do it often, but there's certain students that you do get that with.
Yeah, and that's amazing, because it is so essential when students feel that support and they know that, you know, they're surrounded by people that they can go to if they did need help. One thing I'd like to that I think stood out to me is like our inductions for medical students. Well, just inductions in general, to be honest, because you do it in such a way that, you know, you give the tour, you just make everyone feel, you know, welcomed to be in a new environment, give them the tour of the hospital, let them know who all the members of the team are, who they can talk to if they needed help. But then, as you said, the open door policy as well, people just walk in past in the corridor, you know, they can just pop their head in and speak to anyone if they needed to. And I think it's just an amazing kind of supportive environment to create.
I think it's a very welcoming environment that you've made.
Yeah.
And that's very important, because this is a place where like medical students are going to spend their next 20, 30 years, possibly. So it's a good start.
And awards can leave like a mark on you as well. You know, as I can think back to some of my experience as a medical student, and, you know, you go onto the wards and, you know, sometimes you feel like you're maybe a little bit of a burden to the healthcare staff, and you're like, oh, am I helping? I don't want to. But, you know, as I've said in some previous episodes, students, you are there to learn. And, you know, it's a teaching hospital. So you shouldn't ever feel that you're in a position to not, well, do what you're there to do, which is to learn. So creating that atmosphere, I think it's so important that students feel comfortable.
And I'm sure if they do have problems, they come to you and let you know that, you know, this is how we felt on a ward. And it's usually just miscommunication, probably.
Mm-hmm.
But that's important, so that they know that they can be heard,
yeah,
rather than just avoid going to their placements.
No, absolutely. And that's why we've got a well-being champion. You're training to be a freedom to speak up guardian, and it's for those reasons, so that they do feel like they can come and talk to us and tell us, and we do look into it, we do investigate it, and we always make sure we kind of close that loop, so that they, sometimes it doesn't necessarily always need an action, but we can always go back to them and say, like, look, we've taken on board what you've said. This is kind of what happened, or this was a miscommunication and this is how it should have been put, but this is what we've done. So that then they do feel valued and they do feel heard and they don't then become a bit apprehensive to coming back to placement because, yeah, we want them to be comfortable. We want them to be happy. They're here probably more than they are at home. So yeah. This might be the most normal part of their life for the weeks that they're here. So yeah, we need to look after them.
So there's about 6 of you in the office?
There is. No.
Right.
Yeah.
What is the most common phrase used in the office?
I don't think we can say them in this podcast. Can we censor them out or not?
I'm not sure we can say.
I don't know. We've really thought hard about this, haven't we? Really, really hard.
I think it's because we're all, even though we're work colleagues, we're all friends as well. So we've got that comfortability to speak openly to each other. So maybe it's not something that we could mention.
But it's,
I mean,
such
we
an
can,
important
but it might
dynamic.
Not make the final cut.
But I think that's so important that, like, you have built good relationships within the team,
yeah,
that you're comfortable. And I'm pretty sure you love coming to work as well.
We do.
Genuinely.
Yeah,
we do. It is such a nice environment.
Yeah.
And it is amazing. Now you can feel that from all the clinical, you know, the teaching staff. And just how everyone works so well together. It is really evident that there is just that kind of welcome.
And I think not just the medical students, you're very welcoming and you have this open door policy for the CTFs as well, because we need some mental health checks, like time to time.
From time to time.
Oh,
anytime.
Any funny incidents that have happened with students, maybe?
Well, we thought about this, but then we thought if we thought really hard about a funny incident with student and then the student saw the episode, would they know it was about them? I can't actually think
of
anything.
Or, like, you know, anything that, like, say students normally come in with and just kind of like, really? Really? You just really just come in with this?
To be honest, I think because the students are so, like, vast in how they are personality-wise, you get some people that come in and there was a lady that came in from the PAs and she used to tell us off for still being there at 4:25 on a Friday.
Yeah. She'd be like, why is your bag not packed? Why is your computer still on? Then start messing with things.
Yeah,
so she'd be like,
turn
that off,
go home.
Get your bag, off you go. This is a student telling us to go home. Yeah.
Oh.
But it's just, I think you get a different experience from everybody, but I think we just enjoy the fact that people can come in and have a laugh with us and it's just a bit lighthearted rather than all focus on your placement rather than
coming in,
yeah,
going into drawers,
yeah,
eating chocolate,
yeah,
the snack drawer, yeah, just help yourself. I mean, I think the Oscars are quite funny, probably not for the students because they're under pressure and they're stressed, but they do, like, lose their way a little bit, don't they, and start trying to walk into toilets and just stand in toilets thinking that's a station and cupboards and things. But yeah, otherwise generally they're all right, aren't they?
Yeah,
students, yeah. they're just nice.
That's true, actually. The Oskies are a little bit funny.
Yeah.
I mean, it's PTSD, but...
yeah.
And not from us. We're not causing it.
It's just, yeah, I think sitting there as an examiner, it's just quite, like, wonderful to see how shaky medical students can be.
Yeah. It takes work to make sure everything goes to plan.
I've always said I'd actually like to be on
so
the
quickly.
Inside. Like, yeah. We always do all the prep for the outside and we stand in the corridors, but it'd be nice to be able to just go around and observe the stations and the students just to see what it's like when it's all up and running, because we never get to see what happens.
I mean, Courtney's helped us a bit with, like, mock Oskies.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
She does get to see.
You're well versed now.
That is actually really interesting because I obviously work with fifth years. I don't really see what third and fourth years get up to in detail. So when we did the third year mock, it was really interesting because you would expect their knowledge to be quite, like, not low level, but lower than fifth year, but they're all actually really intelligent and they know what they're doing from the get-go. So you can see how they build on that so quickly.
Yeah. And I think we see it even as teachers as well, that the bars are always just kind of going up every time. And it's exciting. It's good to, really good to see. I mean, we've just had, college students over recently, and, you know, they were answering questions that we would pose as high as third year medical students, and they were getting a lot of it right. And you just think, wow, like, knowledge is just climbing. And it's good to see.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. thinking about innovations with timetabling software, or innovations with working closely with the media team, as you've said. Granted, I haven't worked much with a lot of other trusts, but I think that's one thing that's quite unique about Russell's All, is that there's always kind of ways that we're looking at keeping up with the times of the with the students, whether that being having digital timetabling for the students so we don't have to email them every morning, or having podcasts like this or videos on the system, and working closely with the clinical teaching fellows, just thinking about new and better ways that we can do things all the time. I think that's something that's definitely unique about here, and it's great to see.
Yeah, I think the timetabling and RGSU Connect app is probably a little bit of a niche of ours, really. I don't think many other trusts, as far as I'm aware, have got anything like that. So obviously the girls input all the information, and then it feeds through to an app that the students then download, and that's how they look at their timetables. I think that's quite bespoke at the moment, but I know we've had a lot of interest from other trusts asking us how we've done these things. So I think they're looking at moving in the same way as we are. It's just whether they've got the resources to do that.
In a way, we're setting trends.
Yeah.
Amazing. So I am a day one medical student. I've just set foot onto the department. How can I get the most out of my placement?
Just seek the opportunities. And once you've learnt something once, don't think that you just know it. Do it again. Keep practicing. Keep doing it, rather than just doing it, parking it, and then going on to something else and then thinking, oh, I haven't touched that for a long time. Just constantly keep repeating things, revising things. And I think just making sure they're using their spare time properly, being out on the clinical areas, being with patients and just talking to people. I mean, obviously, I know to be a student and to be a doctor, you need all this clinical knowledge behind it. But I think probably communication
absolutely
goes a lot further, really, in being able to relate to patients in different ways as well. And the way you can relate to patients will also hopefully help them in terms of getting the information that they need to make decisions and get tests and whatever else they do. So I think, yeah, practicing and communication, definitely.
And I've noticed medical students come around to the undergraduate department to like borrow stethoscopes, tendon hammers, things like that, just so that, you know, they're not stopped from like examining patients, just instead of like buying it, because I think some of these are like quite expensive. So it's good that they can like just borrow it from the undergraduate department as well.
I think it's nice that when the students come, even though it's a really nerve-wracking experience for them, as well as us, I get quite nervous getting new intakes of students as well. But I think it's key for them to go out into the areas that they've been told to go to and just meet the people that they could be working with in the future. Because they're going to give you the most amount of like guidance and advice and stuff that you will need and will probably take on into your job role as you progress. So I think it's just really important to come in, even though it might be nerve-wracking and you haven't got much confidence, just go in and fake it. Just introduce yourself, get yourself known on the ward areas and stuff, and you'll just grow without realising.
Yeah, just being a bit proactive.
We have told students before that, like, even if you feel like you are a burden or you're getting in the way, always just try another time, like during the day.
Yeah.
And
people love when students are proactive. It shows your keenness to learn. And you'll find that, you know, consultants
keep showing your face.
They will be so, like, they're very impressed and a lot more keen to get you on board, doing stuff, seeing stuff, learning new things, if you just take that extra step to be proactive about it. Walk it, talk it, and you walk it eventually.
Definitely.
Is it talk?
Talk the talk, walk the walk.
Walk the walk,
Do both.
One of them. All of it.
Brilliant. Thank you so much for coming on. I think, those are really good closing remarks. Be proactive in everything that you do and just practice some more, and you will get the best out of your placement. And for everyone listening as well, thank you for tuning in and listening to the podcast. Till next time.
Till next time.
Remember to stay connected with us on social media. Follow us on Instagram and TikTok at RGUCMS. And subscribe to our YouTube channel, RGUC Media, for more exclusive content and updates. Thanks for tuning in to the Right Chamber podcast. Until next time.